Genesis chapter 50. I think this is really Joseph at his finest. Joseph at his absolute spiritual acme, at his absolute spiritual pinnacle. Verse 20, this used to be my email password, you know, for everything. Gen 5020. I just love it. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save many people alive. I just think this is wonderful. Their fathers died, and the brothers fear still that Joseph is going to seek revenge upon them. So they make up a lie. They send a messenger to him and said, you know, before he died, Dad said that you've got to forgive us. Well, Joseph wept. He wept, just like he wept when he was putting on a hard face in front of his brothers. Why did he weep? He wept because they couldn't believe in his grace, that they didn't get it, that he loved them, and that all the way through this, he had forgiven them and sought to love them and sought to bring evil out of, to bring good out of evil. And he wept, they didn't get it. And of course, he's a type of Jesus. And in that sense, you know, I think God and Jesus must weep, really, that we don't get it, that they desperately want to save us and to bring us to the life eternal. They want to do us good in our latter end, and yet we struggle with it, and we think that he might reject me, he doesn't think I'm good enough, or he's going to remember my sins against me. This is not at all the case. God has a purpose to save. And the brothers were, in their own way, repentant, but they just didn't express that. They never actually express repentance, even when he makes himself known to them. They never say, oh, Joseph, we're real sorry, Joe. You know, we really did mess up. We treated you badly. Like, we're so sorry. They never actually say that. We're sort of waiting for it. The record sets us up to expect it, but it never comes. But that doesn't mean they didn't actually repent in their hearts, and he forgave them anyway. Although he did clearly want to elicit repentance from them, and that was why he goes through this rigmarole with them of acting tough, falsely accusing them to try to get them to fess up and be honest. Yet in the end, he forgave them anyway. Well, they come, I suppose, the closest to repentance here in verse 17, when all these years later, although he's already forgiven them without their specific statement of repentance, as we should forgive people without demanding specific statements of repentance, in verse 17 they say, well, Dad said you should tell Joseph, now please forgive the disobedience of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. Well, what evil did they do to him? Well, of course, they had try to kill him, and then they rethought it and sold him as a slave. That's what they did. And yet I think that they do recognize that all the evil that had come into Joseph's life, the grief that he had in Potiphar's house, the being sold, being put into prison, being abused, Psalm 105 says that his feet were hurt in fetters of iron, and all the years that he, as it were, wasted there, they see that, yeah, that chain of events all started because of what we did to him. It's rather like a guy, maybe, who's abused a child, and he sees the child has grown up, and because of what this guy did to him, the child has become a drug addict, he's become a thief, he's a criminal, and the whole chain of events started with what that fella did to the young child all those years back. And I think that they do see that this whole horrible life that Joseph had in his younger years was all because of what they did to him. So I think they are seeing the consequence of their sin. But Joseph weeps because they are so slow to respond, to believe that he does actually love them, and he really, really has poured grace upon them. And so, of course, he could have responded differently. He could have said, no, I don't believe Dad said that. When did Dad say that? If Dad really said that, why didn't he say that to me? Why did he say this quietly to someone else other than to me? And why are you sending a messenger to tell this to me? you know, you could pick holes in the whole thing really easily. But he doesn't. He just weeps that they don't believe his grace and forgiveness. And so we all have situations in life where people lie to us. That is life, I'm afraid. People do lie, and people do bad things. What are you going to do? Are you going to pick holes in their miserable little stories and say, look, that can't be true because of this, and that can't be true because of that? Are you going to, as it were, enter into judgment with them? Or are you going to be like Joseph? You see, this is why I say this is Joseph at his best. He just weeps that they feel the need to do that. And this is the sort of maturity that we should come to, not picking holes in the misbehavior of others or their lies or whatever, deceit toward us, but just weep for these people that they can't see that we love them and have forgiven them. And as I say, this comes up to this great, to me, great and momentous statement that you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. He doesn't turn a blind eye. His forgiveness of them is not on the basis of naivety or living in sort of Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, you never did it. He fully well recognizes what they had done and says, you meant evil against me. So to forgive without repentance, which some people struggle with, I suppose we all struggle with, that is not the same as being naive and living in cloud cuckoo land and pretending we didn't see and turning a blind eye. Actually, to achieve forgiveness without repentance, I think you do have to look at what the person has done and to state it and to recognize what they have done. But the point is, you forgive them. And when you look at that word, Hebrew word translated meant, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. It literally means to weave or to fabricate. It's used up in the AV about the cunning work, as the AV has it, of the tabernacle tapestry, where the threads of colours representing different aspects of God's character, I think, are woven through the scarlet threads of human sin. And the cherubim were made likewise, the images of the cherubim. And through all that, God's glory shone. So, you weaved and fabricated evil against me, but God weaved it and fabricated it for good, in order to save many people alive. And so this is exactly the wonder of how God deals with grace and sin and human weakness and human evil, that he doesn't turn away in disgust. He will actually use it for good. He may use all manner of totally awful situations, abuse, divorce, all sorts of awful things that happen in people's life, wrecked families, in order to bring about a greater good. This is his hallmark. This is absolutely his characteristic. And you'll see that in your life. But the great example of Joseph is to not get bitter. It is to not focus on the evil and keep on repeating that narrative to ourselves that he did this, they did that, she said this, and then they did that. No, you've got to move on from that and to try to see it from God's perspective. Although you cannot attach meaning to event specifically, you can believe and trust, and faith is to trust. To believe is to trust. You can trust that God is weaving through all this, finally, for a far, far greater good, just as he did in the case of Joseph, that this was to save many people alive. The people of Egypt, the people of the surrounding lands, and of course the family of Jacob. Through all that, salvation was brought about by God. This is the message of the cross, that through torture, rejection, betrayal, and all those things, the Lord Jesus died, and so much huge good came from that. And the same basic process is going on in our lives.